Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to open up the pages of God's book, the Bible. We also encourage you to watch our TV program that airs following this broadcast on channel number 6 of your public access station entitled Searching the Scriptures. It airs from 8 to 8:30. We encourage you to give it a look, and each Sunday morning as we endeavor to open up the pages of God's book. We also encourage you to our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We also invite you to our worship services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our worship services, and we cordially invite you to any of all these services. You'll always be warmly received. This morning, we continue our study of looking at the overview of the Bible. We have finished the overview of the Old Testament, and this morning, we are beginning the study of the New Testament. And so we want to take this time to begin our study in the book of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew is the first of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew was a publican, and the Jew is the writer of this book. This book is part of the Synoptic Gospels. The word synoptic means presenting or taking the same common view. John's book looks at the life of Christ from a very different vantage point, and we will discuss that when we study the book of John. The main character of this gospel is Jesus Christ. He is the main theme in proving to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah of Old Testament prophecy. He is the King of the Jews and long-awaited Messiah that they've been looking for that was promised in the Old Testament. By a careful selection of Old Testament scripture, Matthew documents the truth concerning the claims of Jesus as the Messiah. His genealogy, his baptism, his teachings, and his miracles all point to the same conclusion presented by Matthew. Jesus is the Messiah that has been promised. Even when he died, he turned defeat into victory by overcoming the grave. His message is that of victory, shows the inescapable evidence that indeed he was the Messiah. Matthew also presents Jesus as king. Why? Many references are contained in the book to the kingdom of heaven. Some have made reference to this book as the kingdom gospel. John the Baptist and Jesus both taught the kingdom was at hand in their teaching. Much of his teaching had to do with the preparation for the type of conduct needed for the members of this kingdom. The likely time frame of this book is 56 to 58 AD. We can also say that Matthew's gospel was probably written in Palestine or Antioch. We can also say that Matthew's gospel appeals directly and mainly to the Jewish audience. So what we would like to do is we'd like to give you an overview of some of the things that's contained in the book of Matthew. In chapter 1, you have the genealogy. It begins with verse 1, the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, the son of Abraham. The generations from Abraham to David show that he is the fulfillment of both promises. The one given to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 through 7, and the promise to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 12 through 14. In chapter number 2, we have the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, a fulfilling of prophecy. First of all, of the location in Bethlehem of Micah 5 and verse 2, being born of a virgin, and that emphasizes the fulfillment of prophecy of Isaiah 7, 14. In chapter number 3, we have the person and the work of John the Baptist. We also see the baptism of Jesus at the end of chapter number 3, and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are represented at the baptism of Jesus in verse number 16. We also see in chapter number 4 the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, how he overcame the temptation of the serpent in the wilderness, or of the devil in the wilderness, by saying, "It is written." He was tempted in every way like we are. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He overcame all through "it is written" by the truth. The truth overturned Satan's attempt to lead us to sin. And we read in chapter 4, verse 17, that he began to preach the kingdom, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus first calls the disciples in this chapter in verses 18 through 22. He was promised to make them fishers of men in verse number 19. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we have the greatest sermon that was ever preached, and it is the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount was proclaiming the coming of the kingdom of God. It was showing that there was going to be a change, that there was going to be a new kingdom, and this kingdom was not going to be the physical kingdom with the physical law like the Old Testament, but it was going to be a spiritual kingdom with a spiritual work and a spiritual promise. We see in these three chapters that Jesus begins with the Beatitudes, of the attitudes and the conduct and the character that's going to be needed in this kingdom. In chapter number 6, he shows some of the differences between this kingdom and the old kingdom. And we also see that he gives lessons on fasting in verse 16 and 18. He talks about that we must be willing to forgive if we expect God to forgive us in verse 14 and 15. We have the teaching on the prayer, on how to pray in verses 9 through 13. This is not the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's teaching on prayer. And we also have to show that we must make our treasure in heaven and not on earth in chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. We also see that we cannot serve two masters in Matthew 6 and verse 24. We also see that we must seek God's kingdom first in order to be pleasing to God in chapter 6, verse 33. In chapter number 7, he brings this lesson to a close, talking about hypocritical judgment. He also talks about the ability of the Lord to deliver to our needs in verses 7 through 11. We are given the golden rule in chapter 7, verse 12, that we are to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And then we are shown that only the obedient can enter the kingdom of heaven, and only those that do the will of the Father, according to chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. And then he gives the parable of the two builders, the wise and the foolish. One built his house on the rock, one on the sand. The one on the rock is the one that heard God's word and followed it. The foolish one building on the sand was one that took the word, heard it, but did not act upon it. And they were foolish and built their house upon the sand. The greatest sermon, and the response to the sermon, they were astonished at his teaching. We see in Matthew chapter 9 that the miracles begin. In Matthew chapter 9, the paralytic is forgiven and healed in verses 1 through 8. And we find out in chapter 9 and verse 6 that he has the power to forgive sin on earth. Why? Because he is God. We also see that he's rebuked by the Pharisees because he eats with the sinners. But we're told in this chapter that he is a great physician. He did not come to heal those who had no sin. He came to help the sinner. We also see in chapter number 10, the 12 apostles are sent to do the work of the limited commission to go to the Jews early only first. Their names are listed in chapters 1 through 4 of the 10th chapter. We also see that they were to preach the kingdom of heaven was at hand. We also see that they were to take no money with them, and they were to depend upon those that they presented the gospel to. And we are told in this chapter that they will be persecuted for their work's sake, but not to worry what they should answer and what they should think, because in that hour they will be told through the Spirit what they should say and what they should speak in verses 17 through 20. In chapter number 11, we have what is commonly referred to as the Lord's invitation. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord's invitation. In chapter 12, we see the beginning of controversy over the Sabbath and working on the Sabbath, and God's Son correctly shows that the Sabbath was not violated and that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. In chapter number 13, we have the parable of the soils in verses 1 through 9. We also have the parable of the wheat and the tares in verses 24 through 30. We have the parable of the mustard seed in verse 31 and 32, and the parable of the leaven in verse 33 through 35. And then in verse 36 through 43, we have the explanation of the parable of the tares. We also see the pearl of great price in verse 45 and 46. In chapter number 14, we see that John the Baptist has been murdered in verse 3 through 12. John's killed because of the lust and the hatred of Herod's wife, and did not change the truth taught by John concerning her marriage, which was unlawful. We also have in chapter 14 the feeding of the 5,000 in verse 13 through 21. In chapter number 15, we find out that they were rebuked by Jesus, for they made their traditions equal to the law, and they gave God lip service by teaching the commandments of men in chapters 15, 8 through 9. We also find out in this chapter that every plant that God has not planted will be uprooted in verse number 14, the blind leading the blind. We also see in this chapter that the problem is the heart. The problem is not what comes out of the mouth, if not what goes in, it's what comes out, because it is generated from the heart, verses 17 through 20. We also see Jesus heals a Gentile woman's daughter in verse 21 through 28. And it ends with the feeding of the 4,000 in verse 32 through 39. In chapter number 16, we have the confession of Peter, that upon this rock the Lord would build his church. And that confession is the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And he'll be given the keys to the kingdom in verse 19 and 20, and the kingdom will be open to all men. Chapter 17 is the Mount of Transfiguration, where he is transfigured before Peter, James, and John. In chapter number 19, we have the testing of Jesus, and some of the most controversial passages in the book of Matthew is on the teaching of Jesus concerning marriage and divorce in Matthew 19, 1 through 9. Chapter number 20, we have the parable of the laborers and those going into his vineyard. In chapter number 21, we see the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. In chapter number 23, we have the scathing rebuke of Jesus to the Pharisees for their hypocrisy and their hypocritical attitude towards the law. And then another controversial part of the book of Matthew is Matthew 24, that many people misinterpret as being a prophecy of the coming of the millennium on earth, when it is a prophecy concerning the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. Chapter number 25 has to do with the coming of the second coming of Christ, and the judgment scene is given in verse 31 through verse number 46. Beginning in verse chapter 26 to the end of the book, we have the trial, the mockery of trials, the betrayer, the scourging, and the crucifixion of death upon of Jesus upon the cross. In chapter number 27, we see that he is crucified and put in the tomb, and in chapter 28, he resurrects. At the end of chapter number 28, we have what's commonly referred to the Great Commission in verses 18 through 20, where they're sent to go on to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and making disciples of all nations. Yes, the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, is directed to the Jewish audience to prove to them beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and the Messiah. A close study of the book of Matthew, one would have to have a good knowledge of the Old Testament, for much of the Old Testament is quoted in the book of Matthew, especially the prophet Isaiah concerning prophecies written about our Lord. Next week, we will begin to look at the second of the Synoptic Gospel. We will look at the book of Mark. Thank you for listening today. Come and be with us this morning, and tune in again next Lord's Day, and we hope you have a blessed day.